welcome everyone to an inaugural episode of a new podcast slash video podcast where we talk about everything hip-hop. And so let's kind of get into, it's kind of hard to go with because it's our first time doing a video on our first episode, but let's do an introduction. This podcast is called Hip-Hop Saray, and you have me, who I've done a few podcasts before. I go by different names, but on this one I go by DJ Goose. And the one who had the idea of this is actually right next to me.
Hey, guys. I go by the name Poppy. I'm not a DJ, so I'll just go with Poppy. It's what some people call me, so I'm just going to stick to that name.
I like it. It's a callback to your roots. You know, you're from Puerto Rico. I'm from Bolivia. Very fitting. I actually am a DJ. Nothing too great. Just do, like, weddings and quinceañeras. So I know my way around making beats and all that stuff, which you'll probably hear the opening of this video. And, you know, we're both a lover of hip hop, and actually, I think we're both at maybe different times and different periods, and we felt like we wanted to share our views on those and how they're different, how they're the same, and, you know, talk about anything hip hop, whether it's latest news, us doing a callback of different subjects like feuds, beefs, whatever it may be. And so I don't know, Poppy's going to give us a lot more of the subjects later on, but we want to do a little introduction here. And you said you wanted to talk about, like, what got us into hip hop, right?
As an inaugural episode, as you mentioned, I think it's pretty good to maybe see why we enjoy hip hop or how we were introduced to it. So did you want to go first and tell your story?
Sure, if you want me to.
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like I'm rambling on. So if you want me to go, yeah, that's fine. So, I grew up in the 90s, but actually I didn't get into hip-hop until probably about the 2000s, which doesn't mean I wasn't exposed to it, because I had my older brother who, he loved 90s hip-hop when we came into the States, and his favorite rapper was Tupac. And so I remember at the time, you know, I was, what, like, 7, 8, or 9? And I was still listening to, like, Radio Disney, Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears, all that. So completely different than what hip-hop is. And then my brother started bringing these CDs. And I remember the first CD that I remember hearing and actually getting hooked on all the way through was Tupac. Was his, I think his 96 album was what the year came out, All Eyes on Me, which was just a two-disc album. And
good album.
It is a great album. And I remember, though, listening to that, and I loved it, but I had no idea what the F they were talking about. Like, you listen to songs like How Do You Want It? And this song's bumping. Like, I should start singing this. Like, no, I shouldn't. Actually, to go to that album, one of the ones that I loved the most is, what was it? It's called I Ain't Mad At You. I really, really like that song. And I like that album mostly because it has such different extremes all the way through. You have, like, his club song, you have his slow jam, you have his, I want to say, like, his thug song, or I guess I would say lazy song, because he has a song that says, I'd rather be an N-I-G-G-A. And he's basically talking about, like, how he's better than the guy that this girl's with, but saying, you know, I'd rather be an N-I-G-G-A. Yeah. And so I can get drunk, smoke weed all day, like, basically, like, no ambitions. And so it was just different themes and subjects that he had in there. And that just got me into wanting to listen more. And actually, the first album that I bought was Nelly's CD, Nellyville.
Because
my brother got Country Grammar. And then with my money, I got Nellyville. I was like, oh, I was so excited. And it's still one of my favorite albums, whether it's because of nostalgia or whatever it may be. I love listening to it. So that's, I guess, where my roots came from. There's other, you know, other influential artists, rappers that I can talk about, but that's where I started, my humble beginnings.
That's cool. I've always heard hip-hop here and there as a kid, obviously on the radio. My earliest recollection of listening to a full hip-hop album, funny enough, is Beware of Dog, Lil Bow Wow, back in 2000.
Oh, dang!
I remember it pretty well. My brother and I, it was his friend, he had a birthday sleepover party.
Uh-huh.
And we went to his house, we exchanged gifts, and one of the gifts he got was his parents got him a CD player, and it was a Sony Walkman. And kids, if you're younger, you may not know what a Walkman is, but it wasn't even an anti-skip one, so if you bumped it, it would skip. And they had just the cheesy little headphones that you just put on. They weren't very good quality. But he got the album as well, Beware of Dog. He opened it up, put it in. Everyone wanted to play. But I love music, so I'm like, oh, I want to listen to this, see what it's like. Because the album cover intrigued me. You know, he's just holding a huge pit bull. Or a Rottweiler. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was a pit bull. I pop it in, and I start listening. Has the intro. Has a little piano. And I don't know if it was Jermaine Dupri, but one of the producers was speaking on the track. And then I literally listened to that whole album all the way through, which is something I do now when I judge music. I listen to it 3 times all the way through. And I did that night, funny enough, because I think the whole album's only like 38 minutes long. So for a solid better part of 2 hours, I listened to it. And what really captured me was one of the songs. I think it's, oh, what is it called? Jermaine Dupri produced, and it has Snoop Dogg as a guest feature on it. But it had strings on it, the heavy bass, just the way it climaxed and then hits the hook. I just really enjoyed it. I'm like, oh, this sounds really nice. And it has, a kid is saying all these things and sounds like an adult. It really intrigued me. From there, that's where it took off. The production quality is really what gets me in hip-hop. So if it sounds really, really good, there's still other things. Obviously, lyricism is a huge thing. When I was a kid, I didn't understand the lyrics as well as I do now. But
yeah,
that was the album that essentially got me into hip-hop, funny enough.
Huh. I remember listening to, like, Little Bow Wow and Little Romeo. I can't remember. Was it Little Bow Wow the one that had, like, a basketball theme? Because I know Little Romeo is the son of, what's his face? Master P. And he was featured in a song, basketball theme. But didn't Little Bow Wow do one, too?
Yeah, he did one because he had the Like Mike movie.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
The Like Mike movie, and it was called
that. I remember that. Basketball. That one. Okay, so. I remember that. That's good. So, kind of to segue into the other part you wanted to talk about, because you kind of talked about, is what appeals to you in hip-hop? And I think you said at first you like the production value, you know, if it sounds good, if everything's level, if something needs to stick out either vocally or instrumentally, that they do it correctly, correct?
Yes.
So that's a big part.
It has to sound complete. It has to sound whole. If it's like not a well-rounded sound, it tends... East Coast is very different. Again, the lyrics kind of draw me in really well. But overall, production has to be a complete sound. Highs, mids, lows, a great variety of instrumentals that are on the track. That's what drives me in.
And I had to ask you about this because we talked about this before off air, where I think it was you who told me this, that you didn't like the production value. I don't know if it was either some of the first singles of Biggie or the entire, like, was it Ready to Die, or I can't remember which album it was. You said something like that, right? You didn't like the production value.
Yeah, I didn't like Hypnotize very much. Yeah. It was pretty, like, almost monotonous. To me, it was, at least. Same with Juicy. I wasn't a big fan of those. I like other songs like You're Nobody Till Somebody Kills You. That song is probably my favorite Biggie song.
Okay. I just can't remember if it was the album or just the song. You're just like, I don't like it. It's just...
It's the hit ones. And maybe it's because they were played so much that I also just grew tired of them. Cause
I thought it would be like the fuzzy... I guess that's the best way to describe it. Like the fuzzy... the fuzziness that the song has. Cause that's what it kind of sounds like. Yeah, the scratchiness. Because that's what I could... Yeah, it's like that's kind of, and like it was kind of, I didn't like. I mean, I like Juicy actually a lot, but I hear that little fuzziness in there, or scratchiness, and that's where I'm like, it kind of gets to me over time. But
I just on Hypnotizing, you go, Biggie, 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 can't you see? But you hear
sometimes
the
sometimes your words boom, just boom, hypnotize boom, me. Boom. Now just love your flesh.
The beat just doesn't pick up anywhere.
Just kind of stays like flat.
Yeah, I think it has to grow. Has to sit back and grow again. I like the different tones to it.
Well, would you consider like one of his party songs?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a party
and,
song.
And that makes sense. You want a party song to be there to have you upbeat, to keep the energy high.
Yes.
And if it doesn't do that, I think it's a bad party song.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll talk more about that a little bit later when we get to our last subject, but... in terms of me, of what I am drawn to, has to be, not in this order, but has to be the beats and then the delivery of either a punchline or of whatever that they're doing, the line in their verse. Beats is something that I really like because in hip-hop, you know, they tend to be, and this is because I study music, they tend to go to a minor scale, and that's fine. And sometimes they do it where it doesn't sound uplifting, but it the energy is still, then it doesn't sound dark. And sometimes they do go to where it sounds really dark and ominous, you know, to give you more maybe like a gangsta feel vibe to the song. And then you have some like really upbeat and major scale ones, and it's just like, where the heck did this come from? And I think a lot of current rap, they have like these two extremes. There's some that are really like major scale, and it kind of sounds corny. You think it does because it's very different to what it is in the minor scale. Or you have like dark, dark, dreary ones. And the one that always comes to mind is from Sage the Gemini, the gas pedal one.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be his like club banger, and it's like dun 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 dun, and it's like very ominous. So it's kind of just weird. But so A, one is the beat, and then two is the delivery of what they're saying. Because a lot of rappers, like, if you look at all the discography, they have some really like weird lines or what they're singing about. But and although you can critique that, I like the way that they deliver, or the way they have a flow about how they're talking about it, which gets me. And I think that a lot of people, that's how they like it. They don't really focus too much on the lyrics, because it's the flow that they have. They're like, oh yeah, it's just going through, and they don't really think about much of what they're saying, which, I mean, they should, but
it's how they ride the beat.
Yeah.
If it rides well, if the artist knows how to ride the beat really well, people love it. Speaking of New School, I don't really care much for it. There's a couple songs I really enjoy, but Gucci Gang by Lil Pump, I didn't want to like it, but admittedly I like it. But he rides the beat well, and it's super catchy. Production value is pretty high. Again, it doesn't have a lot of variation to it, but he knows how to use the beat really well, and he has the good energy in it, so it works for him.
And talking about who can ride like the beat very well, and I'm piggybacking off you and just kind of reiterating what you've said before, is one who does it very well is Jay-Z. I think you even said like he's the best one that can, you know, ride the beat and just be on it. Like
in your opinion. I mean, I'm not obviously a professional, but after listening to hundreds if not thousands of hours of music, in terms of versatility on any beat possible, he's got the best resume in terms of flow.
Yeah, and it's funny, some rappers try and be like offbeat, or they try doing a syncopated beat, and you can tell they're not really comfortable with it, because then they just kind of, it kind of comes out like a, and it just is not very well. Or they get people who've never rapped before on their label, and I can't remember who it was, but there's like this Mob Wife who did like a guest verse on this song, and I have to look it up, and she cannot sit on the beat to save her life. Like, at one point she has to like stutter for like 3/4 of a second to get back on the beat, and it still was terrible. I was like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
why do these people sign these people that have no talent, or, you know, it just doesn't make sense.
There's funny enough, when I listen to Nas, I hear, if you listen to the beat versus his flow, he's very off the beat. He does his own thing, but it, because the way he enunciates his words, his cadence of rapping, it works really well. But he doesn't necessarily flow on every beat the exact same. So it's odd to think that he is an absolute icon. He's arguably my second favorite rap artist, but he doesn't flow with the beat on every song. He just does his own thing, and it works really well.
Yeah, and I think I like that variation in style that Nas has, that other people have shown, because if they stay the same way, it comes very stagnant, and that's a big, I think, point that a lot of people talk about in terms of where rap is now. They talk, you know, they have this same flow, the same thing, they all sound the same, and people are turned off by it, but other people are very, very turned on by it for whatever reason. And kind of segueing again to our final topic for today is, you said, what was like an unpopular opinion that you have about hip hop, I guess?
Yeah, like a controversial one where you mention it and everyone's like, oh, you don't know shit about hip hop or whatever. It just doesn't sit well with people.
I think the one that I can think of off the top of my head is that I think it was, how am I going to word this? I guess what I'm trying to say is I think it was a bad move of hip-hop exploding at the time that it did, because hip-hop has always been somewhat relevant, always relevant in one capacity or another, but it's just in the last, like, I would say maybe, what, 5-6 years? Maybe even less than that, that it has been just exploding. Like, you have, well, you had Cardi B, you have a Drake that have number one hits or consistent number one hits on the Billboard Hot 100s, and that's unprecedented. Like, you've had other rappers before become number one, but this is where it's, like, just consistently coming out. It's going up against pop singers, it's going against country, which country is always huge in the United States, and rap is just beating it out. They have more hits in the Hot 100 than the country singles on there combined. And so I don't like that right now it's getting the I guess the credit that it had always deserved, because I don't believe it deserves that credit right now.
That makes sense.
And I, to kind of back up why I'm saying this is, you know, as every genre of music, it has to evolve, right? It has to evolve of the themes we're talking about, beats written, flows, whatever it may be. And I guess for me, rap has always been, at least prior, from the beginnings to maybe mid-2000s,
okay,
that they've always had some, you know, you had your club bingers and all that stuff. But like I said, they had a lot of songs that were real, like, down to earth, and they didn't talk about themselves. They had either a story. For example, like, I have to mention Tupac always, you know, his first song, I think, was Brenda Has a Baby.
Brenda, that's probably my favorite Tupac song.
Yeah, and it's just he's narrating this song of this woman who got pregnant by just some guy, and her struggles with it. He had a song, you know, called Dear Mama, dedicated to his mom. He has one about, like I said, I'm Mad at You. He kind of talks about his friend who goes away from the thug life that they've been, and I guess in that time, and I'm not too familiar with, you know, being in gangs, because obviously, I mean, look at me. I could never be in one. But, you know, if someone leaves a gang, I could see they have animosity towards that person. Like, you know, we're supposed to be blood in, blood out, and you're leaving us, and, you know, you're on our hit list now. And his perspective on that's like, you know, do your thing, whatever you have to do, and, you know, we'll always be friends. And then he turns it around in the song and says he's going to go away too. And then him saying, I'm not mad at anyone who has ill feelings towards me. And I think that hip hop had something like that, or that's something regarding relevant news and things that are going on in the world, to reflect and show that we are living in this time and we want other subjects to be known about. And I think now it's been oversaturated with the availability of the internet, SoundCloud, just you can get things out really easily. And two, I feel like it's become selfish in the sense that it's all about, oh, it's always been about money and stuff, but it just feels like it's more focused on me, like, and not to say it's bad, because like there's some people that talk about their own drug problems and stuff like that, but it just feels like they don't want to venture outside of this certain parameters that are of subjects where before they used to. And it to me, that's kind of sad. It's sad that that's where hip hop is now. At least that's the way I view. I mean, if you guys view it differently, that's fine. And I'm not saying there aren't great artists now that can talk about those stuff. I mean, Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, you have other people who talk about maybe quote unquote mundane things or stuff about the times or what's going on in the news, and it's I really like that. And but the mainstream part of what rap is now is, I don't know, it's just crap to me overall in general.
Yeah, mainstream, like just whatever's being shoved in our face, definitely overall not really good value, quite frankly. But if you dig through it, you can find something really, really good. Because I have that conversation with my brother all the time.
Yeah,
we'll be in his car and he has the XM radio, because I don't use XM radio. I have my own playlist through an application that I use to play music, and he's always like, ugh, rap is such trash now. And I go, I mean, over mainstream, absolutely, but if you know how to dig and find through it, then you find some pretty good gems out there, I think. But as far as my controversial thing, I know you just gotten done talking about Tupac, but I'll bring him up again.
Yeah, so, go ahead.
I will say this, he is the most influential rap artist of all time, hands down. I don't think it can be argued. There might be a case for someone else, but as far as number one spot goes, it goes to him. That being said, I have mentioned to people, because I'm pretty opinionated, and they say, oh, Tupac, top five, and that's a whole nother discussion, depending on what categories you put people in and what you judge it off of. But I said straightly off of lyricism, like verbal dexterity and flow, he's not even in the top 20 in my personal opinion. And that seems to sit really poorly with a lot of people. They go, Tupac, not lyrically inclined. I said he's not, but there's so many that are lyrically just Shakespearean poets that they just keep pushing him down the list, in my opinion. He's West Coast, obviously, aggressive, and I think that energy is what people feed off of. So they automatically assume that that energy makes him lyrically inclined, when maybe it doesn't, but what I think what they vibe is the energy. So when they feel the energy, they feel the words a bit more strongly, whereas someone who's a bit more subdued in their energy, then you may not feel it as much. Nas being one of them, right? He does have really good energy on some songs, but some songs he's slower, far subdued energy. But those mean a lot in terms of if you just read it on paper, it would be, I feel, stronger than if you hear it. And that's the same thing with Kendrick Lamar. I think Kendrick Lamar, I think, is fantastic. J. Cole, I think, is more lyrically inclined.
Yeah.
But Kendrick has that energy, that vibe. If you watch them perform live, people feed off of Kendrick's energy way more than Cole. Cole is kind of awkward on stage.
I think I've heard from someone that it sounds like he's like not even want to be there when he's in concerts. That's what I've heard. I mean, I've never been to a J. Cole concert because, first of all, I don't like him enough to pay like the $100 whatever it is for like a ticket, a decent ticket. But I've heard because in some songs he kind of talks like this or rap like this. Like it's
like a slam poetry where they do the little snap fingers. But lyrically inclined, like I said, if you wrote down their lyrics and read through it, Kendrick has some that are phenomenal. But overall, bar for bar, J. Cole consistently produces more lyrically inclined music, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So that's my unpopular opinion. People get really butthurt when I say Pac is not even top 20 lyricists of all time, and it is what it is. I mean, there are also people, though, that get mad when I tell them, and this is the majority of the people, can't even name me five tracks that aren't Brenda's Got a Baby, California Love. What are some of the other ones? Hit 'em up. If it's not those three, they can't give me five of his tracks. So clearly, they don't listen to enough of his music to know.
I don't think
you can't list more than five tracks from Tupac, you're not really a fan, so I don't care what your opinion is on him.
Yeah. I like Tupac's more, and I guess you have your opinion, I have mine. He'd be in my top five, but I think more of, you know, being lyrically having a lot of what's the word? See, I'm not even good lyrically here, but you know, he may not use a lot of, let's say, a lot of vocabulary, but I like his narration and how he does in songs.
He can tell a story,
and that's what I really like, because I think, at least for me, it engages me when he's talking about narrating whatever it may be. Even in some of his club songs, like he narrates it, which sometimes feel odd. Like in his song, and we'll probably talk about this later, in his song NIGGA, like he talks about like what he's gonna do with the girl, how they're gonna kiss, and then it just gets very explicit.
Yeah.
And you're like, this seems kind of intimate. I don't know if I should be hearing this. And so, but like he has that, like you said, he has that capacity to paint a picture. Maybe you're not using, you know, you can probably do it in other ways or use different vocabulary to explain or describe what he's doing, which other rappers can do very well. But again, I think it's just the story, his narration of how he does it.
Funny enough, Biggie actually has a very, very limited vocabulary. If you listen to his albums, he doesn't have very many difficult words at all. His thing is his charisma, his flow, how he writes the beat. Very, very smooth.
Yeah. If you think about it and listen to it, people still like him.
He doesn't have enjoy him. When people always ask me, Tupac or Biggie, I don't really care. I don't see why you can't enjoy both. I will lean towards Biggie, though. Just, I'm more of an East Coast fan, for right. sure.
Okay. Well, I think that was it for our first episode. It was not that long, not that short. I think it's just we hit that right amount to keep people engaged. We're going to keep talking about different subjects, though. We'll do album reviews, song reviews, stuff happening to rap artists,
current events
in hip-hop. I think what I want to do one of these days is do a history of rap going by decades,
for sure,
because a lot of people, you know, their first thought of when does rap start, they go back to Rapper's Delight, which I think came out in 1979, but there's actually stuff that happened before that, and a lot of things that tie into where it actually started and then you can point like where it got like spotlighted and then to where it is now. But you know, it's something I think we should go into one of these
rich history for sure.
Yeah, so a lot of stuff to talk about. But thanks so much for watching, and this will be also on our Podomatic. Thank you much for listening, and we're gonna say goodbye. So this is DJ Goose.
This is Poppy. Take care, guys.
This is Hip Hop Sarade.
Oh, hey.